Today is a feast that is very important to certain places and persons that we are familiar with. It is the feast of King Saint Louis the Ninth of France. Now, his grandfather, King Philip, left the kingdom. He died young and left the kingdom to his young son, Louis the Eighth. And when he was still a child, a very young child, he died and left the kingdom to his son, the saint of today, Saint Louis the Ninth. His wife, Queen Blanche, or Blanca of Castile, in that sense, we are related to him in one way or the other from Castile, did a very good job in being the regent to the throne. And not only did she teach him the things that were necessary to govern, which are many, but also the things that are necessary to be a holy Catholic. She taught him the faith very, very well. When he was still a teenager, he married Margaret, and with her he had 11 children. So some of you who have a lot of children or want a lot of children, you have St. Louis the Ninth to look up to. And they were raised very well. In the meantime, he sought to bring the true Catholic faith to France. As always, there are laxities and breaches of the law and so forth. And among one of the things that stands out in my mind, which is very important, is that he made it illegal, punishable by jail, to commit blasphemy or to use the name of God in vain. Now just think of those who take the name of God in vain if they ended up in jail for a week or a month or a year. That is what St. Louis the Ninth, that is how great was his love of God and his devotion to God. And of course, he always put God first. As a result, when the occasion arose, he joined the Crusades and he went to Jerusalem and conquered many shrines for Christ. He brought back many Christians to the Catholic faith, and he converted many Muslims to the Catholic faith. And it was probably at this time that he received the gift that is so treasured in the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris, the major part of the crown of thorns of our Lord, which is now enshrined in a very special chapel in the restored cathedral, which of course we know was damaged by the fire of the roof several years ago. And they have made a beautiful new reliquary so that everybody can go up to it and kneel and see the crown of thorns by which our Lord was tortured on the cross. In the meantime, there arose another crusade, and he went. In this time, somewhere in Egypt, there was a plague. It's a country of plagues. We can see it in the Old Testament, too. A terrible plague. And a lot of his army died of the plague. And finally, the king himself, lying on a sack of ashes, as he wished, died and rendered his soul back to God. What an exemplar for a ruler, for a king, for someone in authority. That God always comes first, even at the hour of death. His body, his relics, were taken back to Paris, where they were placed in a special chapel, where they still are to this day. In the meantime, he built many, many wonderful shrines, in particular, the magnificent La Sainte Chapelle near Notre Dame, which is almost all the most beautiful stained glass all over, all four walls, and I believe even some in the roof, which of course we have visited on several occasions. It is a place of magnificent beauty because we are supposed to make this world as much as possible as heaven as we can. And we need to make our lives as much as possible as saints as we can. May Saint Louis of France pray for us and intercede for us. And we pray in a very special way for the Archdiocese of New Orleans, whose patron saint he is, along with St. John d'Arc, and also for the seminary and the seminarians of New Orleans, who are under his protection, that they may follow the truth and live the faith, and in particular, never take the name of God in vain, and never commit anything impure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.